You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday afternoon, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro, who is the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. David, I want to talk about my sporting weekend later on, and I'll devote a little bit of time to that. But what I also wanted to talk about now is why. The word why comes to my mind at the moment because I'm looking at my screens and everything's up tremendously, as Mr. Trump would say. Is it because Pfizer have said that they might have an approved vaccine by the end of October? Yeah. Is that the reason?
That's part of the reason. So that, together with AstraZeneca continuing with their tests, and the other thing is that there have been some big M&A. NVIDIA now going for ARM, yes, which is a $40 billion deal, which is goes to SoftBank, and SoftBank are now talking about going private. And then what? TikTok and Oracle. Oracle's been suspended. It's quite an interesting, it's also quite an interesting development because you know that Larry Ellison is a big supporter of Trump. And, commentators have been a little cynical about it and saying, are they going to be fair on this one, or is it because old Ellison is close to Trump that this one's going to be pushed through and let go? So quite a bit of politics around the association. You know, and Oracle haven't done much for a long time. They've been kind of just left behind. So I think those things, it's three or four things, have really given the market a bit of a boost. Also, Goldman Sachs came out. I don't know how influential Goldman Sachs are on the equity market. You know, I don't know whether it's just headline stuff or whether they really have sway. But they also came back and said, well, sell-off done for the meantime, and things should stabilize now.
Have you ever heard of the phrase, talking your book? I mean, come on now.
You know what? Everybody talks their book. I mean, particularly investment bankers, that you're not supposed to. You're supposed to be objective about the whole thing, but I've no doubt. You never know what the reasons are behind the notes that they come out with. So you've got to take, you've got to take everybody with a pinch of salt and say, well, what's your view? You talk to people all the time, Lindsay, and I think the best kind of research you can give is to interview somebody and make sure that you ask the right questions, and then you can make up your mind from that. You know what I mean? Let people make up their own minds. But I think you've got to be very cautious of people who are running money. even me.
You mean people like you?
Clients. Yeah, exactly. Because you're running money and you know where you're positioned, so you don't want to talk it down. But I think one's got to be very cautious about, about commentators. And I mean it in the nicest way. You've got to put a lot of views together.
Of course, I do all the same thing. I say that I'm short of the S&P with my put option, and I talk it down on this show because it's just human nature. But if 20 years ago I'd have said to you the following, I want to read this sentence, this headline. What would you have said to me 20 years ago? And I said to you, Oracle shares surge after reported partnership deal with ByteDance for TikTok. What would you have said? I mean, it's incredible what a pace the world is changing, and the nature of the stock market and its infrastructure and its structure and its its earnings analysis is changing. It's incredible.
Totally. It's remarkable. And the problem is you can't rest for you can't look back and use the same tools that you used to use today. You've got to be very careful about how you approach the market and how you understand.
Apply, David. Surely the same principles apply. In other words, you're talking about valuations.
They're earnings driven. Okay. So at the end of the day, it comes down to what price are you prepared to pay for earnings. But in between that, you've got wild, wild movements. That's the point. You'll never. It's not going to be a straight line. But at the end of the day, it will be driven by earnings, and the pace at which earnings are increasing. That's the. That's going to be what really drives it. So you have to decide on that, and you have to look. Listen, Tesla's earnings are going to increase, but I mean at a ridiculous. you know, it's a ridiculous valuation. So there are other things like that, you know, there are other things that are influencing share price. But yes, their earnings are increasing, but at a very slow pace that doesn't really justify where it is. But when you start to look at the Amazons and Facebooks and those kind of things, you know, maybe you've got to then decide at what point do they start to slow down. But along the way, it's, you can't use, you could, you know where you get caught, Lindsay, is that, that sometimes, oh, it's too expensive, I've got to leave it alone. And next year it becomes more expensive. And then the next year more expensive. And that's what's happened to a lot of tech shares. But I don't think it's one size fits all. You know, you can't say I'm a growth investor, I'm a momentum investor, I'm a value investor. I think you've got to blend everything. You know, you've got to just be kind of a much more it's just a much more open approach to things. And also you just take a little bit of each.
Yeah.
It's not easy. I wouldn't like to write a book. You know, I wouldn't like to write a book. So what's your approach? So, well, I can't really explain it. It's a blend of everything. You know, it doesn't make sense. And I couldn't get in front of a sophisticated or an audience at a, you know, university type audience and put your views across, because it's not easy to explain. And you can change all the time, you know.
Have a look at the, I mean, again, the article regarding TikTok, or which is something I hadn't even heard of 6 months ago. Oracle beats Microsoft to TikTok US deal. That's from the FT.com. Yep. It says ByteDance has reached preliminary agreement for video app ahead of Trump deadline for sale. Now, just tell me something. I don't know how many billions they're going to pay for this thing, which nobody had heard of a couple of years ago. But if they can do it and suddenly it comes to the fore, in other words, suddenly it's part of our daily language, surely someone else can do exactly the same thing, and all they have to do is have a very clever marketing and advertising department make their app a little bit better and suddenly eat into the TikTok brand, if you like. So I don't understand why people are getting so excited about this, because it doesn't seem to me as though it's that difficult. I mean, if you're a clever company with clever programmers to set up a new TikTok, TikTok-y.
Well, think about it. I think we had Snapchat or whatever it is.
Exactly. Where's that gone?
Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just think of others that we've had as well. What was the pre-runner to Facebook? I don't know. There was something else. Remember? And it never. And then suddenly Facebook came along.
Sunk without trace.
Exactly. You know, even some of the early search engines that Google just wiped out. But how do you do that? You've got to get people you've got to have those influencers. I'm trying to think of a word, someone like the Kardashians or something, who switch from Snapchat to Instagram or something.
Everybody goes
that way. You know, that's the way. I don't think the technology is unique or brilliant or, you know, cannot be replicated. It's just the audience.
You're quite right. You pay a few people who've got tens of millions of followers on whatever other social media platform that they favor. And suddenly then it starts to gain its own momentum. So it seems like a lot of money for TikTok, I must admit.
Well, it's $25 billion.
That's a lot of money.
And but have you seen the crazy, crazy videos that come out? It doesn't appeal to you. It's not going to appeal. It appeals to a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14, 16-year-old, whatever it is. I mean, and that's the audience. You can't ignore it. And that's where they focus their marketing.
Yeah, this is definitely fear of missing out. I can tell you this is definitely FOMO, what we're seeing at the moment. And in a couple of years' time, what was that big tech deal 10, 15 years ago? Was it Time Warner, AOL, something like that? That was a giant waste of money. And as you always say, it was written off or it was impaired because it just didn't make any money or any sense. I get the feeling that one of these deals is going to be exactly the same, because someone will come along and say, thank you very much, I'm going to do the same thing as TikTok and make it even better.
You can write that down. That's going to happen. That's absolutely going to happen, because kids, the next generation decides, the same as Facebook used to be kids, it is now old people. You know, old people in old age homes use Facebook. Facebook, you know what I mean? They're the ones who look at their family and things like that. Kids don't use Facebook anymore. Facebook is used from a corporate point of view, no doubt about it, you know, for corporates to advertise, because you look up their Facebook page, but kids do not use it to communicate with their friends or to share videos. They use, you know, all, I don't know, TikTok, or they use
Instagram
or whatever it is. I don't know what else is. I get all the news from my grandchildren in the US. You know, they tell me what they're using and so on. And they don't use Facebook, that I promise you. So.
Really, David? I've never used Facebook. I'm not a fan of Zuckerberg, but I still use WhatsApp, which is one of his. But the point is, no, I don't. Anyway, why are we talking about this? We're sounding really old. David, what happened on the JSC today? It's again, the overseas markets have surged for no discernible reason apart from the M&A and the potential vaccine, which I think is a spurious reason for the thing to go up. But has it filtered down to South Africa or across to South Africa?
It has, in a way. You know, there's a slightly better, there is a better view, a feeling, you know, about the market.
Good.
We're up 0.5%, but you've got to understand that a lot of this is, when you look at what influences the market, you know, when you say the SA market, so what's gone up today? It's Prosus, which is 10 cent. It's Naspers, which is 10 cent. You know, it's the miners, which have got a big influence. The one that's puzzling me, and I can't, is Richemont over the last couple of days has gone up dramatically. And there's no, one of the stories, because I keep asking why has it gone up, and one story comes in that they might come into play now for Tiffany's, and they might be looking at Tiffany's, you know, which means they've got to, you know, it's a wild guess. But overall, LVMH, Kering, these are all the luxury goods companies. Swatch, which is a watch company like Richemont and so on, have all had very good days. And I'm not sure what's driving it, whether there's been any news out of China or out of the East, you know, where demand is picking up. But I'm just trying to, while we're talking here, just to get a chart up of Richemont. But it's, you know, you can see over the last few days, it's gone up quite dramatically. You know, there's been nothing on the results side. So I'm just putting a
What is your experience of a company like, and just before you go on, sorry David, what is your experience of a company like Richemont, a massive international brand, a South African born international luxury brand company, if it goes in for Tiffany and buys it? What normally happens there? Normally the buyer, that share price gets whacked, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're dead right. That's why I'm saying it's not what one would expect. I would have thought that you know, if it was Tiffany would start going up, not necessarily Richemont, because they're going to have to pay. And they're going to have to pay, what was it, $10 billion or $40 billion, which sounds a lot. Yes, it's more in line with Richemont. You know, they've got Van Cleef & Arpels, they've got Cartier, which are basically jewelry stores, you know, even though they are brands. So it would fit in very nicely with them if they could get into the U.S. Through Tiffany's and that. But I'm not sure whether it is on their, you know, agenda, whether it is on their radar or not. But that could be what has been driving it up, because I've got no reason. You know, these shares have been stuck around about, I don't know, 112, 113. But the last couple of days, they seem to have broken out and leading the market and influencing the market. So that's one to watch for whatever reason.
Yes, very good. What else are we watching for whatever reason? We've got some, what have we got? We've got Reserve Bank this week. What is the Reserve Bank going to do? What do you think they're going to do? Do you think they can justify another 25 basis points or 0.25% or 0.5%? What do you think?
It depends whether they're influenced by the need to stimulate the economy or whether they're going to be influenced by the real rate, which is, you know, the rate minus inflation. Because inflation was creeping up. So we're back to the 3%.
It's 3.2%. I mean, that's nothing in South African terms.
No, it isn't. But I mean, you know, you've got to be able to produce, or there is a view that one needs to have a real rate. In other words, that the rate of interest at which you can earn is greater than the inflation rate. So I don't know. It's going to be a toss-up there. I don't see, Lindsay, the more I look at numbers, I went through Bidvest today.
That was a good performance. I mean, whether it's justified, I don't know.
I don't know. You know, I'm looking at the raw numbers, and they're pretty awful. And understandably, because of hospitality, they supply food. They're quite associated or quite aligned with the hospitality industry, with the travel industry, and things like that. Also, with the mobility of people through motor cars and whatever. And they were hurt really, really badly. But when you look at it, you know, and you look at the raw numbers, we're in a tough economy, and a really tough economy. The banking numbers that we got last week are shockers. Mm. And I don't, you know, they've got to reflect. The more I thought about it, because we've had quite a few discussions about write-offs and provisions and that, and I thought, you know, your balance sheet or your financials must represent what you think the company is worth now. You can't finesse them. You know, massage them because you feel, listen, down the line, you know, when things improve, we're going to shoot the lights out with massive increases. You know, you've got to think about the person who is selling the shares today. You know, when a person sells the shares today, are you representing the true value to him? So I'm saying you can't mess with provisions. You know what I mean? You've got to be fair within reason. So if this is true, if banks are saying this is really what we think is going to happen to us down the line, and this is a fair representation, then there's pretty tough times ahead. You know, they don't see things improving, and they see not only businesses but certainly individuals coming under a lot of pressure in the future.
Yeah, you know what, with the hospitality industry and the coronavirus and vaccines and everything, the volatility that has been instilled in the market because of all the things I've just mentioned, it's very interesting. I went for a cycle last night. I went back to my old neighborhood, and it's about 5 km away from where I live now. And I went to a place called the Food Hallen in Rotterdam. It's an old warehouse, a beautiful old warehouse that used to be home to spices and dry goods and things, but they've turned it into this place that was full of bars and restaurants. And it was really good. And on a Sunday night, for example, you couldn't get in there. In fact, they'd stop you. The security guards would stop you from getting in. It was so packed. I went in there. There were 12 people. And 75% of the bars and restaurants had been shunted, just gone away. And I spoke to the owner, who'd become a friend of mine, because I lived right opposite. So obviously I went there quite regularly. And he just said, we used to have 120 barmen and waitresses and waiters, etc. Now we've probably got about 20 now, and they've all been laid off. Occasionally we bring in casual workers, and I said, well, what's happened to these places? Is they've just closed down because they don't have any money. They didn't have the money to stay afloat, they've all gone. And another place I went to today. Again, friends of mine, they borrowed €50,000 just to get through the last 3 months. And this is just a bar and restaurant, a small bar and restaurant. They had to borrow €50,000 just to give themselves the peace of mind and the financial security of having that little buffer, if you like. And I don't think we quite realize that maybe in six months to a year's time what the fallout is, because I think it's quite dramatic in very many levels of business.
No, you're 100% right, but that wasn't the intention of government. And that's where I go mad, and that's where I lose it over that, because when governments locked these businesses down, and it was a government decision. Mm. It wasn't that in order to distance people, in order to get on top of the virus. The whole idea was to allow these companies to survive. I had a conversation this morning with, I was interviewed by, just talking, it's in relation to the South African economy. And my whole view was, there are small and medium companies that need to be saved. The only way you can save them, don't give them conditions. Don't say, we're going to lend you money, but it's going to be at XYZ interest rate, or you have to pay it back. Don't say that. In other words, just give them the money and say to them, when you're okay, pay us back.
The umbrella theory, in other words. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Allow them to survive. I used the example, and it came to me as I said, you know what? It's the same as people who've gone to university and took out student loans and are probably run away and never going to pay them out, you know. And someone's going to suffer as a result. I'm sure Absa Bank and Standard Bank and all these other banks have got people full-time trying to trace these people who took out student loans. But think of the other side of it. By doing that, these people qualified and probably today hold decent jobs where they earning good money and paying good tax. And that's the kind of analogy I want to create and say, yes, you might write it off, But what happens is by them going into the industry, they're helping the whole economy. So there are lots of small businesses like you've just mentioned now, waiters and cooks and chefs.
Yes.
And you can't let them go. And they should be – it should be this helicopter money. It should be money to say, okay, you need 50,000 euros here. When you're ready, pay us back. We know you've got it, and we'll ask you. We're not going to put pressure on, and we'll come around every now and again and see how you're doing, etc. You know, as soon as you can, you'll start to pay us back. And I get so angry because I've seen so many businesses going in. I just see the doors closed, and you know, especially in the catering industry and in the services industry, whether it's hairdressers, whatever. That's just unfair. It's just totally unfair. So
David? Is it factored in? Do you think it's factored in yet, or do we get, as I mean, people keep on talking about the second wave, and that is happening in Europe at the moment, albeit with a lower death rate from coronavirus. Do you think the second or even third wave is upon us, and do you think it will have an effect, or are we ready for it now with Pfizer and their vaccine, etc.? What do you think?
It doesn't scare us as much as the first wave.
Hmm.
We know how to cope with it. We know social distancing. You know, we know things like that. And I think we'll take it. We're going to focus more on the solution rather than on the cause and the you know, it doesn't scare us when we see those headlines. But once a vaccine comes, and I was listening to the CEO of Pfizer, and they reckon by year end. And once that starts coming through, I think people will start to get a little more confident and so on. But
I wish the
damage is still there.
I wish they hadn't mentioned it before the election in the United States. I wish they'd kept it quiet.
You.
But you know what's going to happen. Do you know how that's going to be used as a political pawn?
I'm with you.
Oh, God.
Well, you see, the end of the year is November, December. They vote on early November.
Yeah.
So we still got time.
Okay, David. We haven't spoken much about the JSE Securities Exchange, but anyway, the market up around about 0.5%. The Rand is, 1664, doing very well. Nice and stable. I love a stable Rand. I mean, if it can be at 21.50 or 31.50, as long as it's stable and not all over the place, so that people, importers and exporters and the government can actually plan at 31.50 or 21.50 or 16.50, where it is more or less now. That's what we need, stability, and we've had stability recently. I want to talk to you about my weekend. We spoke on Thursday with Nick Kunzer about the fact that we were looking forward to the football season, and it makes me very sad that game between Liverpool and Leeds, which was an incredible game, was not played in front of 65,000 people. It was a fantastic game, but can you imagine if there'd been fans there, David? Wasn't it a fantastic advert for football? Not English football, just football in general.
It really was. And to see a team that's been newly promoted take on Liverpool, I thought they were special. They were really tried. They never gave up.
No.
They never wilted. And it was sad. I'm just sorry for their sake. You know, you could write the script that Liverpool were going to come through with a penalty or something was going to happen. You know, it's just the way. And to me, it just took it out. It took everything out of it. I would have loved a draw, but credit to them coming up and playing like that. And you know, traditionally, this is, you know better than I do, this was a massive game. You know, Leeds used to be a massive team, and it's so good to see them back. I used to fear them in the 70s, mainly in the 70s and 80s.
Early 70s, they were incredible. Billy Bremner was the manager, and Don Revie was the manager as well. Yeah. He was so good. It was Billy Bremner the captain, Don Revie the manager, and they were. And there's a lot of history between Liverpool and Leeds as well. And so to have those fans there doing it, but anyway, it was still an enormously enjoyable. And then I watched the Grand Prix, which was I don't know, it was interesting. Lewis Hamilton won it. I watched Ipswich versus Wigan. I just had to choke on. I can't believe I'm mentioning that. I watched Ipswich Wigan on Sunday lunchtime, and Ipswich won 2-0, which is great. And then the other game that I want to talk to you about is Paris Saint-Germain versus Olympique Marseille. Did you see the story of that one? You probably haven't. Okay. Well, Paris is obviously the capital and the very chic capital and the biggest city in France. And down below, their little cousins, their country cousins, which is a port town of Marseille, Olympic Marseille play. Anyway, they're traditionally very, very, they have a fierce rivalry. Anyway, so recently what's happened is that Paris has said, well, the authorities in Paris have said the whole of France must do this when it comes to COVID-19, coronavirus. Marseille has suddenly said, no, we're not doing that. We don't like you. We don't take rules from Paris. We've got this, sort of maverick physician down there, and they said, we're going to listen to him. We're not going to listen to Paris. So anyway, there was a little bit of tension going into the game. It was Paris versus Marseille at the Stade de France. And it ended up 1-0 to Olympic Marseille, the first time they've beaten them for 16 years, I think it is. But there were five sendings off in the last 10 minutes. There was this brawl. Even Neymar was sent off. It was such fun. I watched this thing. They all tried to duff each other up. So there was some incredible football this weekend. Five sendings off.
But
five red cards.
Marseille's rugby. That's rugby. I mean, that's the south of France.
Oh, very much so,
Marseille,
yes.
Yeah.
Very much
rugby
so.
People. Mm.
But Olympic Marseille is a very good team. And anyway.
Well, that's where Wenger came. Wenger was there.
Exactly
was he Maneka? Was he...
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The rivalry between the two, I mean, France is split between the north and the south. It really is. It's very good fun. Anyway, David, thank you very much for your time this evening. That's David Shapiro, who's the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg, and that was Shapiro World. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.